can trust me to lead your life. You can trust me every step of the way. Look in the past and see where I've led you through, everything that I've led you through in the past. And let that encourage you that I will continue to lead your life. Father, we thank you for that right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God. You've never forsaken us. You've never left us, Father God. You'll lead us and guide us. So for anything that you might be facing right now, Father, we thank that we can trust you. It doesn't matter what your mind tells you. It doesn't matter what your emotions tell you. But let the Spirit of a God tell you that he is leading and guiding your life. Leading and guiding your life. And so, Father, we thank you for that, God. Thank you, Father, that you lead us every step of the way. How we love you and we worship you and we honor you, Father God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing. Amen. We thank you for your anointing, Father God, in our lives, on our lives, in our lives, through our lives, around our lives, in our homes, in our cars, amen, at our workplace, at the restaurant, on your hike, anywhere you go. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And how we thank you for that, Father, how we love you, how we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you agree with that? I don't know about you, but I receive that. I receive that. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Thank you, Gina Marie, my wife. It's awesome. I'm not going to. Yeah, Gina was mentioning that what's going on like in Texas with the shooting. And so, Father, right now, we just pray for families. Lord, my prayer, my bold prayer is that people will turn to you. Lord, there's many fingers that can be pointed here or there, but I pray that people would turn their lives to you, Lord. Oh, how we need, a move of God in our young people, Father God. Father, so we just ask right now that you would pour your love, your truth, there in Texas and these areas where we've had these shootings lately, Father God, and the senseless, Lord, we know it's the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I thank you that your word says that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray that our young people would experience a fresh revival. But Lord, you will turn people to you. Lord, it's easy to blame this or blame that, but the thing is this nation needs to give their life to you. So we pray for the parents, the family members of those children. Oh, God, we just pray for your love and your goodness, your presence, Lord, to bring healing. And I couldn't imagine, Lord, what they're going through, but, Lord, that you would do a supernatural work, Lord, in people's lives in that situation right now. Lord, we speak it and we declare it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't you agree with that? Amen. You know, I think it was John Adams that says, if the people can't govern themselves, they'll be governed. And the only reason why that we can govern ourselves really is because of our faith and trust. And when this country seemed like it was going down a wrong path, we'd have a great awakening. We'd have a revival. And, Lord, we need that again, a revival in this land. That people would say, hey, let's have a day of prayer. Let's not point it. We need new legislation or we need new this or that. Lord, that we'd have a day of prayer, a day of repentance, that this nation would turn to you. Amen? Let me say that there's still light in this nation. I mentioned this. I don't know when I mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. So I was with some friends. They're missionaries in Bangkok, Thailand. They have a church over there, international church, and just the things that they were telling us. But it's very dark there. They would experience things like to go out, and they had a red light district. You know what that is, right? A huge one there in Bangkok. And they'd go out for a prayer walk, her name's Bridget, said her back would start hurting intensely. And she'd be on this prayer walk. And she'd keep praying and praying. And as soon as she'd get back home a couple hours later, guess what? That backache is gone. And so just the different things, you know, it's like less than 1% Christian there. Why do I bring that up? It's because they said you can feel the oppression there. When you're working, it's tangible. They said, but we came, even as much as we have going on here in the States, they said, when we came to the States and landed, we could tell a difference. And they said something. They said, it's because of the foundation of this nation. And so, Father, we ask that foundation of Jesus Christ, that city on a hill, Father, we just pray that you would pour out your Spirit, pour out your loving kindness, that the eyes of our young people, especially, who've been lied to in schools and indoctrinated, we just pray that the Spirit of truth would be poured out upon them, Father God, that the gospel, Lord, and bringing laborers into those fields, amen, leaders and youth pastors, and Father, so we just ask, Father, for a move of God in our young people. Lord, it's the only thing that's going to change this nation is a move of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. It won't be law. I've said it before. It won't be laws and regulations and this. And although, obviously, I'm thrilled that we could overturn Roe versus Wade. Amen. Amen. For women's sake. But we need the hearts of people to be changed. Amen. That's what'll change. That's what'll change America. It's not more legislation, more laws. My goodness, we don't need any more government. That's for sure. With the hearts of people to be changed. Amen. So when the missionary, our friends, Dana and Bridget told us about that, they said, man, you could just tell the difference when you landed in America. It's like, wow. It's been a year since they've been here. And they said, you just get so used to that, like a wet blanket, and the battle that you go through and everything, that you get used to it. And then you come here and realize, hey, wow, there's still some light in America. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're still in John chapter 4. And we're in session. Anybody know what session we're in, though? Thank you, Marcus. 26. Do you know what verse we're on? Close. 46. You're getting close, though. Thank you, Marcus. I love the line upon line things in the Word of God. And so you have to, as we go, what I like to do is we kind of have to put ourselves there. We read these things, but I've noticed if you don't kind of put yourself or step back or study it to say, okay, what was the situation? Where were they at? What was going on at that time? Amen? And so we're gonna pull some of those things out tonight and imagine if we were with Jesus 2,000 years ago, right? And didn't have any automobiles, that's for sure, right? So most of what Jesus and his disciples did was what? Walk. And so it's going to be interesting as we go through these first few verses of John chapter 4, verse 46. And it's healing an official's son. And said, therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, that's who, Jesus, where he had made the water into wine. So we're talking about his hometown. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. So this royal official wasn't, so this wasn't a Jewish individual, a Hebrew, was it? So this is most likely a Roman official, somebody who's kind of high up. I don't even think it was a soldier. So somebody that was in the palace, so to speak, somebody who had influence, right? Somebody who probably was wealthy. And so they're in this, in Jesus' hometown area, and a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum, when he heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him, began to asking him. So he went to him and began asking Jesus to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then verse 48 says, then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. So let me just mention a few things here. So he's coming, a sick in Capernaum. Capernaum, this is where his son is. Jesus is where? Jesus is in Cana of Galilee. So let me just say, when he says, hey, will you come with me and heal my son? My son's near to death, right? And so let's get in the car and drive 20 minutes into Prescott. You can pray for my son. No, where Jesus was at and where this official son was at was a four-day walk. So we're not talking about, hey, let's have lunch, let's get in the ride and let's glide. No, we're talking about, hey, can you come with me? It's 4 days walk. So he's, let me just say one thing. He's being really bold, number one, 4 days walk. So this guy was desperate. You know, sometimes being, I've said it before, some of the greatest moves of God in my life has been times when I've been desperate. I mean desperate for God to change something in my life. Desperate for God to restore something in my life. Desperate for God to show up on the scene, amen? And that's sometimes when that praying is when you pray, man, from the belly. When you have groanings of the Holy Spirit, man, you say, I've got to see a move of God or things aren't looking good. Amen? Now, God loves our prayer, right? Hopefully we're not going from crisis to crisis. It's not how what God wants us to do in any way, shape, or form. Amen? We don't want to live a life that we're always looking for a miracle. Because I've come to learn, if I'm always living a life that needs a miracle always, and I'm not doing something right. I don't want to live life from miracle to miracle. Now, I do want to live life faith to faith, amen? Living life faith to faith, growing in Christ, growing in his faith, growing in his strength, growing in my trust of him. But I do not want to work or live from miracle to miracle. But in those times, man, when you are in desperation, this guy comes to Jesus and says, I know I'm putting you out, but can you come with me? I know it's 4 days there and 4 days back. Wow. This guy was desperate. So first point is he was bold, wasn't he? This guy was bold. I mean, he's coming to Jesus, who would be probably, you know, considered definitely beneath him. We're talking about a carpenter's son. I'm talking about in the eyes of the Romans what he was. And he's going to him saying, man, I don't know. I've heard about this guy. I'm so desperate that I'm going to be bold and ask this Jesus to travel with me. Oh, Father, that in this nation we'd have some people that'd be bold. Lord, that there'd be a desperation in this nation for a move of God. It's going to take a desperation and a boldness to have God move in our midst in this day and this hour. I know it is. That's the way it's always been. When you're going to have a move of God, somebody's got to be desperate for that. Someone has to say, I will stand in the gap. I will pray. I will not give up. I will declare his goodness. I won't let the things of this world to bring me down and to say, hey, there's no hope. Hey, without him, there's no hope anyway. I don't care how good things look. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for this nation. There's no hope for any nation in this world without Jesus Christ. So this guy is desperate. He is bold. You know, it says to come into his throne room in boldness in your time of in your need of grace and mercy. Amen? Boldness. So this guy is being bold to the living God. Now, this guy is not a Jewish person, is he? He's not a Hebrew. He's a Gentile. And so he did not care about what was going on around him, by the way. Didn't care what the Jews thought. He humbled himself. He basically was groveling and saying, please come with me. I'm in a desperate situation. So he didn't matter what was going on around him. He humbled himself. Amen. Isn't it wonderful, regardless of how successful we might be, that we can humble ourselves around other people and say, hey, this is where I am, or what's going on in my life is because of Jesus Christ. Amen. I point to him saying, I give him the glory. I give him the honor. I give him the praise. Anything that's been done in my life, I give the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he humbled himself. He didn't care what was going on around him. Jesus, I need your help. And then the third thing there is he began to ask, Jesus, please come with me. Jesus, so all of everything's going on. He was bold. He didn't care. He humbled himself, and he began to speak, and he began to ask. And then Jesus had said, unless you people see signs, let me just say this. That wasn't a rebuke to the official. Because remember, we read previously, I think it was last week, where they actually were offended at Jesus, and they had seen his miracles in Jerusalem, and maybe some of them heard about when the only other miracle he had done in his region where he was from was turn the water into wine. So these people were actually they were offended at him, an indignation towards him. He said, "We know his family. Who does he think he is?" We heard what he said in Jerusalem. We saw those miracles. We heard his boldness. But does everybody realize that we know him? We saw him raised with Mary and Joseph and all his other family members. So when it says that he says, unless you see signs, he was talking to those around him, not to the official. All the other Jews, they thought, oh, are we going to see a miracle here? Listen to this guy. Are we going to see Jesus do another miraculous sign? So once again, he was pointing to the Jewish people, his people that he knew well, that he was raised with. He was saying, hey, unless you see a sign, you won't believe. Unless you see a sign, you won't believe. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, you know this scripture. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 says, for indeed Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Now, we know that Paul was a wise man, wasn't he? And we know that he had signs and wonders, but he was saying in Corinthians, he said, I came here and was foolish amongst you to the point of trembling and shaking, and I preached Jesus crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. And so this royal official said to him in verse 49, said to Jesus, sir, come down before my child. Let's pack up the donkey. Let's get rolling. Right? And then Jesus says to him in verse 50, says, Jesus said to him, go, your son is alive. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went home. Well, how many miracles were needed in that area where Jesus was from? Can you imagine the healings that were needed? Could you imagine the healing in their hearts and their souls and their families that was needed in that area where Jesus in Cana of Capernaum, and yet because of their hearts towards Jesus, they could not receive. It took a guy that was from 4 days out of the area to come and say with boldness, saying, Lord, I want a miracle, and he left with a miracle. Isn't that amazing? So, Father, we ask that with us, that with yours and my generation here, where we are right now. You know, if you go into the cities and some of our major cities in America right now, if you're to preach the gospel on the streets, you take your life in your hand. Did you know that? Maybe here in Chino, maybe where you're from, it's not like that. But if you were to go into some of the inner cities and start preaching the gospel, you take a chance that your life is in trouble. That's where it's come to a point in certain areas, in certain places. And you know, it didn't happen overnight. And it's not the judgment of the Lord. This is what it is. It's sowing and reaping. What they've been hearing from schools, what they've been hearing from family members, what they've been hearing from the government, from generation to generation to generation, there's been no gospel, no preaching that Jesus will set you free. He's the one who'll set you free and change you. No, it's become that it's everybody else's fault. We live in a society where we can just point the finger at somebody else. Amen. I'm sorry. Amen. That's good stuff. But this one man gets a miracle from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the gospel, the power of the gospel. Lord, I pray. I sometimes pray. I say, Lord, I pray that our hearts aren't hard in some areas that we don't even realize. Amen. It's just easy in society. We go to church every week. We have our families. We have our work. We go from day to day to day. I pray, Lord, that we have an expectation of you moving in our families, in our lives, in our nation, in our neighborhood. Good Lord, that you would move in our church in Jesus' name. Amen. And I don't ever want to be a church where we show up and say, let's see a miracle. God does miracles, amen. But I want to come to church and pursue him, amen, and let the miracle worker do his thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15 says this. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according. So he's asked, right? We know that he was bold, he humbled himself, and he asked. So it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Amen. Boy, I know he's hearing the request that he wants to take care of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. I know he's hearing my request for my family members that desperately need him. Amen. I know he's hearing the request for healing that I need even in my own body and those that I know around me. I know he hears those prayers. Amen. So I want to have an expectation that he will answer my prayer. Hebrews, we're moving along. You still with me? Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? To please him. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he proves to be one who rewards those who seek him. And we'll see as we start talking a little bit more about this, part of seeking him is asking. Amen. Did you know that God loves to answer prayer? Amen. Sometimes it's not in our timing. I think of Elijah, that it didn't rain. Was it for 3.5 years? Didn't rain. God, at that time, God had just spoken him and said, don't pray for this yet. Don't pray for this yet. Don't pray for this. I'm doing something in Israel. I'm doing something in the people here. I'm getting people to get desperate for a move of God. And then all of a sudden said, God says, it's time to pray. And then he prayed. He had to pray 7 times, right? But it was in that time frame, and they saw that hand coming out of the water, the cloud the size of a fist. And who was that wicked king that he said, Ahab? Ahab was watching all this, and he says, you better get in your chariot and get rolling, or the rain is going to overtake you. Amen. So when he prayed, God answered with prayer. You know, when regarding things in our life, you know, God knows the timing of everything we're asking for. Did you know we can trust him with that? Sometimes it seems like things will just be going on forever and ever and no change, and then there's suddenly people that you've been praying for, suddenly they want to hear about the gospel. You know, suddenly it's a breakthrough in your life, something you've been asking about the Lord, all of a sudden it happens. Amen. So God knowing the timing of everything, but let us know this, that he is hearing our prayers. Part of us seeking him is asking, petitioning him. Matthew 7:7-8. So we know without faith it's impossible to please him, that he rewards those who seek him. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, ask and it will be given to you. Amen. Is this the word of God? I am reading the Bible, amen? This isn't a Harry Potter book I'm reading, is it? No, this is the Word of God I'm reading. It says, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Lord, we would believe the promises of the Word of God. And for everyone who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Amen? So three things there. It said ask. You know, ask, if I was looking in the Greek, what ask means, it means to crave. To crave, saying, asking the Lord. It said ask. I mean, love asking. Do you think of that crave? I love asking you, Lord, for answers to prayer. Lord, I love asking you to lead and guide my life. Lord, I love asking you to direct me. Lord, I love asking you to bring restoration to my family. Lord, it says to crave that. It says to, like a beg, saying, God, I want to see you move. Not beg like a groveling, you know, we are his children. But it's saying, Lord, I'm asking everything with him. Lord, my heart belongs to you. It says the desire. So we're talking about ask, right? We're talking about ask. To crave. To beg. It says the desire. And then it says require. You know, it says in James that we have not because we ask not. Amen. And then it says we don't receive because we ask amiss and spend it on our own lust. I've done a study on that because it also says you kill, and then you guys are hateful towards one another. And if you when you look at that James, it says that you ask not, you don't ask because if you want to consume it on yourself, it's all under the thing of being jealous of others. So doing a study that I did on that, I know I'm not doing a very good job explaining it. But it was talking about there is those that were asking, but they were wanting to consume it on their own lust. And when you read in that, they were jealous of others. They were envious of one another. They they've seen other ones' blessings and would say, why don't I have that blessing, Lord? Why is that not in my life? Why don't I have that? What they're saying is that what you've done in my life, Lord, is not enough. And so the motive is wrong. The motive is jealousy towards one another. Saints, God loves answering, listening to our prayers and answering prayers. Amen? That crave, the beg, the desire, the require. We have not because we ask not. Amen? So asking, Lord, thank you that you love us asking. Have you ever felt bad because you say, oh, I'm asking too much, Lord. I feel like I'm just asking. Lord, obviously the Holy Spirit can tell us if we're amiss in our prayers, right? But I'm telling you, the Lord loves us to ask. He loves us to ask of him. What are those called? Petitions, amen? Asking for his direction. Asking for his leadership in our lives. Asking for his provision in our lives. I'm telling you, the Lord loves it. If you think of the perfect, our Father who's perfect, his perfect heart towards us. Man, he loves to hear from us. Even in asking. You know, religion will slap you on the hand and say, hey, you're asking too much. You should be sacrificing more and everything. You should be doing this, and that it's, for some reason it's wrong to ask. Think of the perfect Father's heart. Think of a young child who asks questions to their parent or their father. Everything is dependent upon the parent. Amen? Take a 5-year-old kid, a 7-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid, a 12-year-old kid. Aren't they dependent for everything upon their parents? Amen. You and I, even though we're big boys and big girls, God loves us to depend upon him. Amen. Oh, how he loves you and I. We have not because we ask not. Lord, I pray that we be realizing how much you love us to be askers of your goodness in our lives. Father, we thank you for your presence right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, sometimes religious traditions get in the way of your goodness in our lives. Father, it brings condemnation, or we can get stuck in our struggles. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the blood that washes our sins away. Father, thank you for your goodness in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would have hearts, Lord, like your children, Lord, asking you for everything we need in our lives, Father God. Lord, that we wouldn't be tricked or deceived by the devil, that for some reason that we should feel guilty to be askers of our Father. Lord, may we do it more, Father. I just sense in your heart that you want us to be askers. Sometimes we try to figure things out on our own, Lord, but you're always saying, just ask me. Ask me, I'm there. If any of you lack wisdom, Lord, we remember that scripture, let them ask. And it says you give it liberally. Thank you, Father God. So we thank you for that right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, how we love you, Father. We thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing that is on the Word of God, Father God. It has the power to make a shift in our heart. It has the power, Father God, to lead us down another direction. Lord, it has the power to open our eyes to see you a little bit differently, Lord, to see a different side of you, to see the kindness and the goodness and the grace and the power and the anointing of our Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for that tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen? To everyone that believeth. And so we thank you for that anointing, Father God. We thank you for that anointing in our lives, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we can trust you, Father God, as we continue to ask you of things in our lives. Oh, how we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. I'm telling you, the Lord loves it when we rely on him. I used to have a partner in business for many years. He passed away, but when I first became a partnership with him, I thought I was pretty cool stuff, you know. And he would say these prayers, and he would say, Lord, we're like baby birds. We just need you to bring vision. And at first, I'm like, heck, this guy talking about? Let's get out there and get busy. I don't want to hear any of this baby bird stuff. I had a chance to pray with his what would be his widow, And what did I say when I started the prayer? I said, Lord, we're baby birds. Our mouths are just open. We need your provision. Lord, we need you to provide for us. Oh, how my heart's changed. Oh, how my heart's changed in that area. I have no problem saying that now. Amen. To honor him with his widow, his wife, to tell that story to her, and then us to pray just like he would pray. You know, to have childlike faith is a rare commodity in today's world. Did you know that? Childlike faith. Amen. It's so easy to put our faith into this year where we're going and saying, come on, God. Come on, follow. We're headed this way or whatever. But you just think about childlike faith. They believe what their father says. Amen. We can believe what our father tells us. Amen. We can trust him. He's a good, good father. Amen. And so many people's background and their past, they just their heart doesn't get healed or whatever, and so they just don't even realize it. They can't trust other people, and they don't realize it, but they can't even trust their father who gave his son for them, died for them. And so they find themselves not asking because they really don't trust him. Oh, that you and I would have that childlike faith to trust him, amen? To trust him, amen? I'm sorry, I just can't go on yet. Just staying right here. Thank you, Father God, for childlike faith. Father, that we wouldn't make the gospel harder than it is, Father God. That we wouldn't convolute it and all these rules and regulations and all the things that we do that make life complicated. Yes, life is complicated enough, but Father, childlike faith and trusting you and asking you, Father, that's what you're looking for. Amen? So we thank you for that tonight. Jesus, we thank you for childlike faith. We thank you for softening our hearts in the name of Jesus, Father God. Thank you for showing us areas where our hearts need to be softened and have that childlike faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, we declare it over our lives. Father, we declare that childlike faith over our lives. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God, Father, that leads us to repentance. Father, we thank you for your kindness, Father, that watches over us and leads us and guides us and directs us. Father, we trust you, Father God. We trust you, Father God, in those things in our lives. Oh, how we trust you, Father God. To simplify our lives in you. Amen. To simplify our lives in you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for any weariness in our lives. Father, we give this weariness to you. Lord, how we need a time of refreshing. Maybe you need a time of refreshing in your soul or in your mind. I don't know about you, but I need a little bit of a refreshing. The week can beat up on me, man. Things going on can beat up on me. Father, we thank you for refreshing by the Holy Spirit, Father God, taking that weight on our lives, and we give it to you because it says you care for us, Father God. So we thank that we can give that to you, Father God. Lord, we give you those weights and those burdens and those things that weigh on us. And Lord, we just ask for a time of refreshing, Father God. Lord, that we would feel as light as a feather in Jesus' name. Lord, we can live in a society where there's that oppression and weight, and we don't even realize it because we've stewed in it and we live in it. We don't even realize the weight that can be upon us. Amen and amen. And God bless the babies. Oh, how we love the babies. Amen and amen. Ask. Amen. Did we talk about asking tonight? Amen, Lord. The next one is seek, which means to worship. Seeking meaning worship. Means to desire. Amen. And you guys, you wouldn't even be here if you didn't have a desire for the things of God, right? I know you guys have other things you could be doing. But Lord, we desire you. Amen. We love being with one another and we desire more of you, Father. So seek meaning worship, desire, endeavor. It means endeavor. Amen. It's purposeful. And the endeavor, seeking him. What I love about seeking him, it doesn't lead to a dead end. It doesn't lead to a scratch your head and say, what's going on here? No, seeking him always leads to greater understanding. Amen? It always leads to a revelation of Jesus Christ. It always leads to something of revealing of his character, his mind, who he is, his purposes in your life, my life, the world's life, the church's life. It always ends in good. When we seek him, there's always a nugget of truth in him. Amen? So seeking. If we're seeking something, that means we're trying to, what, find something. Not that anything's been lost, but we're saying, Lord, that we grow from faith to faith. It's line upon line. Amen? So we're just saying, Lord, I want more of you. I'm seeking you. What I have is not enough. Father, I want more of your goodness in my life. I want more understanding of who you are. Father, I want more of your kindness, your grace, the fruit of the Spirit, the strength, the love, joy, and peace. Lord, I want more of these things, Father, being evident and coming out of me as I seek you. And we know we have the Holy Spirit, so everything is already in this package of the Holy Spirit being born again. But something about mining it out through seeking him, it becomes part of things that actually gets released. Amen? I mean, do you know more about the Lord God this year than you did last year? I hope so. Amen? And some of that has to do with seeking him. We worship who we desire him. Our endeavors, we got a purpose. Amen? It means to inquire, to learn. It means something hidden. Amen? There's so many mysteries of the gospel and the grace of God. One thing I want to say is everything is revealed unto us through the grace of God. For by grace are we saved through faith. Amen? And that not ourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So all of these things actually belong to us. Amen? We're joint heirs with Christ. We're children of Abraham, amen? These things already belong to us. We're just mining them out, amen? We see in the flesh, but we're pursuing to see spiritual things. You can't see it in the flesh, amen? You can't see it with your natural eyes, but your spiritual eyes begin to open when you seek it. I love when the Lord speaks to me. I've come to when he speaks to me through his word, or when I'm praying, or whatever, and he reveals something to me, I say, man, I love that, and I want more. Lord, I love that, and I want more. Because when he starts revealing little truths and goodnesses, his goodness, and just truths, it just, wow, it feeds you. It feeds your soul out of your spirit, man. It's like, wow, may I have some more, Lord. Thank you, Lord, may I have some more. Did you know it's okay to say, Lord, may I have some more? Amen. But seeking, to worship, to desire, to endeavor, knowing that we're seeking him, man, we're going to find things. You know, me and my wife were having a time of prayer, or a little bit of time of prayer on Sunday, just as an example. And it was amazing. The Lord spoke to my heart the way he impresses me and says, I am king of this home. I said, wow. I mean, I can say that by faith. He's king of this home. But when he spoke to my heart and said, I am king of this home, I said, wow. That's all he said. But that was enough for me that day. I was on cloud nine. And I was just talking to Gina. I said, honey, I know he's king of this home. I trust him. But when he made that revelation, I am king of this home, I was like, wow. That's when I said, thank you, Lord. May I have some more? Oh, how he wants to speak to you. Oh, how he wants to speak to you and I. We ask, we seek, and then it says, it's funny, we knock. And that means to rap. Rap meaning, it's not this, it's not like this. Anybody home? No, it's, amen. Let me give you an example. One more set of scriptures, then we'll let you go. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. Yes, we're going to do our best. And he said to them, Jesus, suppose one of you has a friend. Now, he's given this crazy story. This analogy is kind of crazy, actually. Who goes to their friends at midnight and says, you got any bread? So he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Midnight, right? Because a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to serve him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you 3 loaves of bread. Are you crazy? I tell you, even if he will not get up and give him anything just because He is his friend, yet because of his shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Now which one of you fathers will his son ask for a fish, and instead of a fish, he will give him a snake? Or who will he even ask for an egg, and his father will give him a scorpion? So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those to ask him? And through the Holy Spirit, we can ask, we can seek, and we can knock, and the Lord will answer us. He will reveal his goodness to us. His revelation is on its way. It just says, keep knocking, keep asking, because he keeps giving it to us. He keeps revealing his goodness to us. And even in spite of all our failures, so the enemy will say, hey, he's not going to reveal anything to you. You know what your mindset is? Do you know the thoughts that you have? Or do you know the struggles you have? And so what the enemy wants you to do is quit knocking. Quit asking. Quit seeking. And I'm telling you, in spite of those things that you struggle with, keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Father, can you stand up with me? Father, we thank you for revelation. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that you are enough. Lord, we thank you that you're enough. Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is enough. The leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives is enough. The anointing breaks every yoke of bondage. It breaks every lie of the enemy. It sets the captive free. It leads and guides our lives. And so, Father, we thank you that we are a people that keep asking, we keep seeking, and we keep knocking. Lord, we thank you for endeavors and purposes in our lives. Thank you for revealing purpose in our lives, Father God. We thank you, Father, for protecting us, protecting our children, if that's the case. Thank you for your hand upon our children, upon our grandchildren, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you, Father, for blessing upon our families. And Father, we ask you, Father God, to those that don't know you, to bring them home in Jesus' name. Lord, I'll keep asking, and I'll keep asking, and I'll keep asking, because I know I'm going to see the answer. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking, because those things, that those petitions that I have asked, I know that they are mine in Jesus' name, because the Word of God says that you give to him who asks. Amen, Father God. You give to those who seek, and you answer those who knock. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your faithfulness. Oh, Jesus, how we love you, Father. How we love you, Father. We are your children, Father God. Oh, how we love our Father. Oh, how we thank you that we're part of we're children of Abraham, that we're joint heirs. Father, we thank you that all the promises of God are yes and amen, Father God. So we thank you for that, God. We bless you and honor you as a people, Father God. Father, we thank you that our prayers right now are going up into heaven like incense, Father God, and that you hear every prayer that we ever pray. But Lord, right now, Father, we just thank you that, Lord, we say, Lord, we're going to keep asking and keep seeking and keep knocking as you reveal the goodness of God to us. Oh, how we love you, Father. And so we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. We are grateful to you, Father. We thank you for your loving kindness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Of all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Have a good night. Woo-hoo.